This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Since the inauguration of Donald Trump as president, activism against his agenda has taken many forms, from mass marches to smaller gatherings. Town hall meetings held by lawmakers during recess have been particularly useful spaces for constituents to confront their representatives. And many have done just that, particularly focusing on the issue of health care. The irony is, of course, that years ago, activists aligned with the ultra-right-wing Tea Party confronted congressional representatives when the Affordable Care Act was being debated. Now, the congressional town hall meeting has once again become the site of healthcare activism, but in defense of the ACA. My guest is Sarah Chason Warner. She is the campaign director with the group Fight for Families. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm here with People's Action Institute.
So let's talk about the ways in which these town hall meetings have really become used, you know, for what they're theoretically intended to be used for, which is for constituents to let their representatives know how they are or aren't representing them. These stories have been kind of isolated. You know, we heard of Tom McClintock being confronted in California. We've heard of various individuals. How many, as far as you know, town hall meetings or other gatherings that congressional lawmakers have held, has there been this sort of activism at? Can you give us a kind of a sense of how widespread this has become?
Absolutely. So the activism is widespread. It's all over the country. We're seeing activists taking part in actions to support healthcare in opposition to Republican attempts to take away our healthcare through repealing the Affordable Care Act, block granting Medicaid, voucherizing or privatizing Medicare, and more. We have seen recently in Wisconsin, in Tennessee, in Florida, in Utah, we are seeing activists coming out to these town hall meetings to talk to their representative and tell them what they think about their plans to take away our health care. And these town hall meetings, like you said, are truly the opportunity for representatives to get to talk face to face with their constituents in small local settings. This is really the first phase of democracy that we have here. And so for people to come out to these town hall meetings to share their stories of how the Affordable Care Act has been helping them and their fears about what the Republican potential plans could do to the economic security of their families, of the economic security of their communities, and what this means for the fabric of our country is pretty significant.
Now, of course, lawmakers, particularly Republicans, are dismissing these protests at their town hall meetings, claiming that these are paid protesters. How do you explain to Congress how these are being organized? Now, we know, for example, that the Tea Party movements and gatherings several years ago were being centrally organized by this group called Freedom Works. That's a right-wing astroturfing group. Do you have any sense that there's some really central organizing that's paying activists to go to these town halls?
Let me be clear, no one is paying activists to go to town hall meetings. The people that are going to town hall meetings are either going on their own accord or because they have already have existing relationships with grassroots advocacy organizations working on issues with healthcare, and that they have prioritized this as an important piece of their program for going forward, an important piece of their own economic security. The people who are attending these meetings, and like I said, we are seeing hundreds of people attending the meetings, are there to share their story with their member of Congress, to tell them in person what their repeal of the Affordable Care Act means to them. For example, in Wisconsin, there was a woman who attended Representative Sensenbrenner's town hall meeting earlier this week, who shared her story about her 26-year-old daughter and her fears that her 26-year-old daughter may not be able to stay on her insurance after the Affordable Care Act is repealed. Representative Sensenbrenner at that moment literally told her that he didn't have an answer for her. And this is what town hall meetings are about. Town hall meetings are the opportunity for people to share their stories, share their concerns and to get answers from the people that are running those town hall meetings. And up to this point, we're not seeing answers.
We've even seen lawmakers attempt to repeat some of the same lies about the Affordable Care Act that people like Sarah Palin were expressing all those years ago before the act was passed. In particular, the most egregious one, I think, is this issue of death panels, and
yes,
people did not stand for it. Do these lawmakers now sort of see that putting out misinformation with people who've particularly actually used the Affordable Care Act is just not going to work?
Yes, and one of the town halls that you're referencing was with Representative Villarakis in Florida. And I think he saw firsthand that people are paying attention. They no longer accept what's coming out of Congress, and particularly what the Republicans are saying about the Affordable Care Act, this whole concept of death panels. They are recycling old scare tactics to keep people from expressing their concerns about what the future is of healthcare and health coverage in this country. I was particularly dismayed to hear the facilitator of that town hall meeting refer to the participants who called out Representative Villarakis for that that misinformation. He referred to them as children. And that's unacceptable.
Right. I mean, he basically, when people were angry, he said, "All right, children, settle down," or something like that. He said it twice. I couldn't believe how patronizing that was.
Exactly. These folks were there to meet with their representative. And to be frank, they weren't happy with what they were hearing. I think that most folks are reasonable. They attend town hall meetings to talk to their representative, to tell them what's happening in their lives, to ask questions. And when they're told things that aren't true, like death panels, you should expect that your constituents are going to be a little upset. To refer to them as children was completely unacceptable, and it's not in the spirit of our democracy with the back and forth that town halls provides.
In terms of the people who are showing up at these town halls, I'm sure their own political background varies, not just constituency to constituency or locality by locality, but even person to person. I'm sort of wondering, because I went to one of these town hall meetings, 8 years ago, when the ACA was being debated in Congress, and members of Congress went to their homes and home cities, had these town hall meetings, and Tea Party activists confronted them so angrily. And I'm wondering if you have a sense that some of those same people who were against the Affordable Care Act are now for it because they've actually had a chance to take advantage of it.
Well, there's certainly, I think, anecdotal evidence of that. And we're also seeing as well that with people sharing their stories about how the Affordable Care Act is working for them, that we're seeing a shift in attitude towards the Affordable Care Act. I think that's really important. I was also at the state level, I was actually working for a New Hampshire grassroots advocacy organization the first time around with the Affordable Care Act. And those town hall meetings did get contentious. But at the same time, people are there to speak with their members of Congress. They're there to tell them their stories and their concerns, and they're there to get answers. And when we can't get answers to things that affect our personal economic security, the health of our loved ones, the health of our families, that is what scares people. And we haven't seen answers yet from the Republicans about what their plan looks like. We haven't seen any answers from them about who is covered and who is left out. We haven't seen answers about how much will this cost. All of these things are terrifying to people for whom prior to the Affordable Care Act were uninsured or could not get quality, affordable health insurance because they had a pre-existing condition. We're talking about millions of people here.
And there's also people, some of whom have been profiled and interviewed, who voted for Donald Trump. And then when they realized that he was going to attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act, he has since postponed that for a year, they were extremely upset. But I mean, seriously, he said he was going to do that. And there were plenty of people who voted for him that rely on the Affordable Care Act that either simply missed this little fact or were blinded to it or thought he wouldn't do it, somehow believed that he wouldn't keep his promise. And that just to me is mind-blowing. Now, let's talk about the fact that I mentioned the Tea Party. There was one report that suggested the Tea Party, Slate reported that the Tea Party is planning a comeback, but they aren't going to show up at town hall meetings until March, because FreedomWorks, the AstroTurf group that creates these or pushes these through, wants to give Republicans a little extra time to come up with an alternative. Sarah, can they really come up with an alternative? Because as far as I know, their whole idea is to do away with the Affordable Care Act and go back to the status quo, which was a free-for-all ruled by the insurance industry 8 years ago, right?
From what we have seen no clear consensus on what the Republican alternative plan is on this. And even if there was even if they did have something on paper, from the discussions that we've been hearing, from what representatives and senators have been saying in the media and in newspapers, you're absolutely right. What they're looking to do is to continue to have a corporate heavy hand in our healthcare and our health coverage. And we know that that doesn't work. We know that when insurance companies profit off our healthcare, we know that the system then is broken. And so we cannot allow for plans to come forward that repeal the Affordable Care Act and give more corporate giveaways to insurance companies. We cannot allow for Medicare to be privatized. Medicare is an incredibly important and vital program that has an incredibly low overhead, might I say, in terms of the government overseeing it. We cannot allow these things to happen. We cannot allow our health insurance and the protections that we have fought for and gained over the last several years to be rolled back in favor of corporate cronyism.
And I mean, the best way, of course, to improve on the Affordable Care Act, if one was really interested in improving on it, is to go to a Medicare for All or single payer system, which the Republicans are terrified of. And the same kind of misinformation that was put out about the single payer system is, misinformation. I mean, imagine if we did have such a thing, and those people who have Medicare know that it works, we would probably not go back once we had a taste for it. Sarah, tell us about the ways in which people are organizing at future congressional meetings. You know, what is left to come? And are people using the Indivisible Guide, this guide created by former congressional aides to show people how best to hold their representatives accountable? Are they using that guide to plan future meetings?
Absolutely. People are refusing to accept these bait and switch tactics that those who are pushing the repeal of the Affordable Care Act are putting forward. They are organizing in their states, they are organizing in their cities and in their towns, in both red towns and blue towns and purple towns, to say, we don't want you to take away our health care. Don't take away our health care. There's certainly a variety of materials that are available to activists who want to learn more, invest in their own leadership development, and become more active at the community level. The Indivisible Guide is certainly one of those options. But we do not expect that people across the country will let up anytime soon. This is just the beginning, and momentum, as you can see, is on our side, and the momentum will grow. We will not accept a healthcare system that puts corporations in charge of our day-to-day lives.
And we know that the new head of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, is, and this all happened along party lines, but he, forget about the Affordable Care Act. This is a person who's talked about doing away with Medicare. I mean, a lot of American seniors who rely on Medicare, they're not all Democrats. In fact, possibly a majority of Republicans.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Medicare is an incredibly important part of our social fabric. I mean, people from all backgrounds rely on Medicare, and we have found that in our organizing that healthcare is one of the issues that goes across party lines. People know that healthcare is critical to their own economic security. They know that it's important to their families' health and their livelihoods, and they know that it touches everyone and everything around them.
So at this point, if my viewers and listeners are interested in getting involved in their own local areas, particularly to keep their lawmakers on their toes, what do you recommend they do?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, call your member of Congress's office, and you may have the most luck by calling their local office in your state rather than their DC office, and ask when their next town hall meeting is.
And calling is better than emailing, Sarah?
Absolutely. Calling is much better than emailing. It's much more timely. You'll get a response more quickly. Because we are also finding that several members of Congress are not holding any town hall meetings, and that's unacceptable. During their recess, which is February 18th to the 26th, members of Congress should be holding local events and local town hall meetings to meet with their constituents face to face. So people should first call and ask for a meeting if there isn't already one scheduled, and demand that their member of Congress meet with them during the recess. I think folks can also get active with local organizations. There's a variety of grassroots organizations, including those who are affiliated with the People's Action Institute across the country, to get involved, to learn more about the many healthcare fights that are on our, plate. Like I said, the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid block granting, and how that they can get involved in demonstrating their opposition and raising their voice.
And I'm so glad you brought up the fact that some members of Congress are not holding town hall meetings. Some of them have been scared to see what their colleagues have gone through, and they want security and police protection from their own constituents. Some are attempting to have phone meetings. I mean, seriously, if you didn't want to actually meet your constituents face to face, you shouldn't call yourself a people's representative.
Absolutely. And nor does our organization condone any violent acts at these town hall meetings.
But has there been any violence?
I haven't seen any violence reported at any of the town hall meetings. People are upset. Don't get me wrong. People are upset because they're not getting answers. They're not getting the information that they're looking for. And they are nervous about what's going to happen to them and their families and their health care. But I've seen no efforts at violence, nor do we condone any efforts at violence during these town hall meetings. These are opportunities for people to share their personal experiences, tell their representative what they need out of them, and send them back to DC to do the right thing.
Sarah, give out a website where people might be able to find out more about the People's Action Institute.
Absolutely. So you can go to peoplesaction.org and you can find out more about our organization.
And that's peoplesaction.org. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah.
Super. Thanks so much, Sonali.
Sarah Chason Warner is a campaign director with Fight for Families at the People's Action Institute. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.